President Obama takes the nuclear option.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama said this morning he is making roughly $8 billion in federal loan guarantees available to help build the first U.S. nuclear power plant in three decades. It'll be built in Burke County, Georgia. Today, the president told a union audience in Maryland this project will create thousands of construction jobs and 800 permanent jobs. And he said this nuclear plant is only the beginning when it comes to developing safe, clean, energy-efficient technologies.
Investing in nuclear energy remains a necessary step. What I hope is that with this announcement, we're underscoring both our seriousness in meeting the energy challenge and our willingness to look at this challenge not as a partisan issue, but as a matter that's far more important than politics.
The president's new budget triples loan guarantees for nuclear power plants to more than $54 billion in fiscal 2011. And speaking of our budget, China is saying thanks but no thanks to U.S. debt. The Treasury Department said this morning foreign holdings of Treasury bonds fell by $53 billion in December, biggest amount on record. China reduced its holdings by $34 billion. For more on what this means for Uncle Sam, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. Hey, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
Is this the doomsday scenario we've been talking about so much, China deciding to stop underwriting our debt?
Well, I spoke with one informed observer who says, no, it is not. He's Guy Labai. He's the chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. And he says this is a natural pullback. There was a lot of heavy buying of U.S. Treasuries right after the financial crisis because, as you remember, it was viewed as the safest investment in the world. And everyone, including China, boosted their holdings of U.S. Treasury bonds.
They've gone from about $400 billion in the middle of 2007 to upwards of $750 billion today. So a little bit of a pullback isn't really that unusual. I think the broader trend remains that the Chinese government continues to purchase a fair volume of Treasury bonds.
Okay, Jeremy, but won't the politics of this include people saying, see, we have got to deal with our deficits before China dumps more of our bonds?
You can bet it will. And even Guy Labai admits that this debt dump by China means it's going to become more expensive for the U.S. to issue debt. It'll have to pay a higher interest rate. It won't, therefore, be able to issue as much debt. And he says that's going to force the government to either cut spending or raise taxes, which, of course, is not going to be an easy task while Washington is trying to stimulate us out of this recession.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
So far, Wall Street seems unperturbed. They're up about 1%, the major indices. S&P 500 up a little more than that. The Dow's ahead 123 points. It's at 10,222. We saw encouraging earnings this morning from Kraft and Merck and Abercrombie and Fitch. Asian stocks were mostly higher today, although they were mostly closed for Lunar New Year holidays. European stocks gained about 1.5%. And let's stay in Europe for a moment. Greece is facing a chorus of criticism and advice on its financial troubles. Ministers from across the European Union today urged Greece to make big budget cuts. That's after ministers from the Eurozone group made a similar call yesterday. Now even the Russians are chiming in, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
This morning, the Greeks got a word of financial advice from an unexpected quarter, the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. He urged Greece to turn to the IMF for help in its time of trouble. The advice won't be welcome in Athens. The IMF has been notoriously tough on debtor nations. And the advice won't be well received in Brussels, Paris or Berlin either. Megan Green is with the Economist Intelligence Unit.
Symbolically, it would make a huge statement. You know, the fact that an EU member state is having to be bailed out by an outside party and that the EU couldn't even handle its own crisis in its own backyard.
The EU is stepping up the pressure on its troublesome member. Greece has been given a month to show it's serious about cutting its deficit or face the prospect of sanctions. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
The government has given a boost to the fearless few trying to start a radio station on tribal lands. The FCC recently issued a rule giving Native Americans preference over all other applicants. Critics call that rule unfair. From Phoenix, reporter Peter O'Dowd has more.
Of the more than 13,000 radio stations licensed in the U.S., a mere 41 belong to Native American communities. So for those who live on reservations, reliable information can be hard to come by. Just ask Gail Houses from the San Carlos Apache tribe in eastern Arizona.
They want language classes, they want the weather, the local news, they also want the national news.
Houses is opening the tribe's new FM station, KYAY, and more tribal stations are likely to pop up now that the FCC has essentially guaranteed radio licenses for Native American applicants. FCC Commissioner Michael Kopp says that will meet his agency's obligation to make radio accessible to everyone.
When it came to Indian country, we weren't doing that, so now we're going to give a priority.
Of course, there is opposition. Chris Imlay is a communications lawyer in Maryland.
They have to be careful about how they go about policies that prefer minority applicants over non-minority applicants.
Imlay says the court has overturned previous FCC attempts to give preference to minorities, but he says there's an even bigger issue. Rural stations are notoriously short on cash, and Imlay says the FCC ruling does nothing to support a tribal station's bottom line once it's on the air. In Phoenix, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
And finally, from the Vancouver Olympics, a goaltender on the U.S. hockey team has been told to remove the words Miller Time from the back of his helmet. Olympic rules prohibit advertising on athletes' uniforms. No exceptions for this goalie, whose name is Ryan Miller. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.